strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Peleus Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
All right, there we go. Come on now. Come on here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. It is the Big Red Rage. Wolf doesn't deserve it, but bring the applause anyway. I mean, seriously, Wolf, you've really done it now.
What are you talking about, Paul?
Chasing away Calais Campbell like you did here in week four. What's going on with that over
Holder
there?
Holder in Tampa, surely you jest.
I thought he was like making a special round-trip flight back here for the Big Red Rage.
Is going to make an appearance on tonight's broadcast, is he not?
You are absolutely right about that. Calais Campbell will join us on the Big Red Rage. Per usual, it is Calais Campbell hosting with a special guest. But you know what? Filling both seats tonight, Damian Anderson, everyone. Give it up for Damian Anderson. The fact that Wolf's still on the show, though, I mean, it's unbelievable how many favors I had to call in. Luckily, I have 3 years stockpiled with Damian on the pregame show.
Absolutely, Paul. And it comes down to more you can do. I mean, you know, if it's vacuuming the halls when everybody's left the building or filling in with you guys for Calais. I mean, I'm not quite 6'8", but right, I know that I could get a job. I know I could talk. I know I could talk to him at least 6'8". And I went going back to Wolf, when we were coming back to that flight in New Orleans, I saw some rare fandom there, Wolf.
What do you mean?
You and Paulie got your pictures taken, at midnight, getting off the plane? I mean, you guys are celebs. Paulie, you were throwing up the guns?
There's a side story on that I really shouldn't share, but it goes something like this. A guy walked to me and said, Darren Urban? It's a true story.
It is a true story.
The same
right
guy
there
who wanted a photo thought I was Darren Urban.
That was right after he asked Paul for his lucky charms.
I played along.
It was interesting.
I played along. All right, you mentioned New Orleans, and we're coming off a game in the Big Easy where nothing was easy except the opening drive, except the game that Darnell Dockett had. Maybe a couple of takeaways, gentlemen, as we get going. We're going to talk mostly about Tampa Bay. We're going to talk about the Cardinals being in Florida. We're going to hear from Calais Campbell in a couple of segments a little bit later. But, Wolf, the big picture coming off week three, a 31-7 loss against the Saints.
Well, I think right now, obviously, you know, here you said you're 1-2 on the season. And I think when you looked at the schedule coming into this season, you said to yourself, my goodness, if we could be 500, if you could be 500 at the end of September, I think, you know, Bruce Arians would take that. I think Steve Keim, I think the entire organization would have said, you know, a done deal if you can be 2-2. And right now they sit on the precipice of achieving that. If, in fact, they can go into Tampa and play well on Sunday and walk out of there with a victory. But as it pertains to New Orleans last week, I think, look, trying to beat Drew Brees in the New Orleans Saints in that building is very, very difficult. That is a very difficult proposition. They're a totally different team in that building. And even though I don't think they played exceptionally, I think the Arizona Cardinals created a context in which the Saints could thrive. And ultimately, that was the problem, the fact that they could not protect their quarterback. And for whatever reason, we're still having a hard time with our man cover in the secondary. Those two elements came together. Drew Brees is such an accurate passer. The fact that we had a hard time protecting Carson Palmer, I think that made it very difficult on him doing his job. It's something that is totally understandable when a quarterback feels the pressure and shows the fact that he feels the pressure, but it's something you could never, ever accept as a coaching staff. So there's a lot more, obviously. We're going to talk about that and the dynamics that existed in New Orleans. But right now, I think you walk out and you say, hey, we lost a game. We did not play particularly well. Let's move on. Focus on Tampa.
Damian, what do you think? Anything you want to add right there?
I mean, just some things that jump out, Paulie. It's just consistency, trying to find the identity of this football team, whether it be protecting the quarterback, having balance on offense, or having that ability to get after the opposing quarterbacks. And I think that there's some uncertainties there, and I think that as weeks come, and I think you have a great opportunity in Tampa to get this W in and perform like a team.
Well, the Cardinals lost the lead. They lost the game. A player lost a fingertip. And he lost three regulars, all at the same position. We're going to have that next on the Big Red Rage, and we'll hear from Calais Campbell a little bit later, all presented by Santan Ford.
Lorenzo Alexander and Sam Acho will be placed on IR for the rest of the year with leg injuries. Lorenzo's a foot and Sam's a leg. They're core people. Their energy will be missed as much as their play. They're both high-energy guys, and that part of it as a football team, it's going to be hard to replace. But somebody's going to have an opportunity to step up and do it.
Yeah, those are two guys you're going to miss on three levels. You're going to miss them on defense, regulars, starters at outside linebacker. You're definitely going to miss them on special teams. Lorenzo Alexander, a perennial Pro Bowler on the special teams. Sam Acho, big-time performer on the special teams. And then you're going to miss the energy. You're going to miss the energy in the locker room, on the sideline. You're going to miss the leadership. There is no doubt about that. It is a Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell will join us a little bit later from Florida, where the Cardinals are stationed this week, getting ready for Tampa Bay coming off the New Orleans game. They decided to train in Florida. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Damian Anderson here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford. Good to see the guys. Tim Hovick and the crew made the trip back from New Orleans as well. All right, so gentlemen, it's not just Acho, Damian, all right? It's not just Lorenzo Alexander. Alex Okafor, on the off day, it was determined that it was a season-ending biceps injury. Not one, not two, but three different guys at outside linebacker all go down coming off one game.
Yeah, Paulie, it's something that's very difficult to happen, but you have to look at it as opportunity for the guys that are in those positions as the next guy up. I remember when I was a rookie, we had to play the Carolina Panthers, and they had the number one defense in the NFL. And Marcel Shipp had went down, as well as Emmett before him from Virginia, Thomas Jones.
Yes,
I mean, we had two running backs get hurt in the same game,
and that's when he was reaching for the phone. he couldn't.
Johnny Rowland,
that was uncalled for. Yeah.
Johnny Rowland comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, buddy, you're starting next game," and that's what it takes. And it was like I was prepared, and I paid attention in the classroom, in the meetings rooms, and took every rep at practice like I was going to start. And you know what? It happened. Fourth game of the season, we went down there, got an unexpected W. Participated and helped our team get that W and that win on a couple screens and ran the ball well, and the offensive line came together. That being said, you cannot necessarily account for injuries, but you expect them to happen, and that's what this team, Steve Keim and Bruce Arians, put together, this depth on this defensive line front and in the secondary. And the strength of the team is the secondary, which bodes well facing this rookie quarterback.
This is really going to be difficult, though. This is a difficult situation right here because Sam Acho and Lorenzo Alexander, first of all, Lorenzo Alexander, one of your best special teams players on the roster, beyond a shadow of a doubt, right there with Justin Bethel, a special teams captain, if you will. And, you know, Sam Acho and Lorenzo Alexander, these are guys that aren't going to get you beat. And coaches refer to these guys as players that don't get you beat. In other words, they're not going to be a massive liability out on the football field because they're going to do their job. They're going to be in the right place. They're going to know what to do. They're going to go out there and give you everything that they've got. These are players that coaches look at and say, you know what, we can win with Sam Acho as our outside linebacker. He's dependable and he's accountable. And you could say the exact same thing for Lorenzo Alexander. And now all of a sudden, you know, it just is such a bummer because you're thinking to yourself, Alex Okafor, here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity. This is a guy that Bruce Arians is talking about. Somebody else, next man up. Somebody else to step up and get that opportunity to play. And Alex Okafor was a guy that I was really looking forward to actually getting out there and getting some reps and depending on him to play well. Now this is just a massive loss when you lose these three guys at outside linebacker, because now you're looking at John Abraham getting a lot more reps than maybe you planned on him getting at outside linebacker. And on the other side, maybe you've got Matt Shaughnessy, a guy that really isn't an outside linebacker, but a guy that has taken reps at outside linebacker and played that position throughout the season. So now you got a guy that maybe really isn't best suited to be there. And then you got another guy who's in his 14th season and a guy you probably didn't think was going to get starter reps coming into this season. So this is problematic for Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles.
I'm glad you brought up Bowles, because it didn't surprise me earlier today talking to the media in Florida. He mentioned that, yes, they will probably go to much more 4-3 fronts, that they will run a lot more of the four-man defensive line. I'm just curious, guys, in general, you guys, you know, watch the game from a different perspective as former players. How much of that sort of scheme was Bowles already running this season, going with four defensive linemen?
Well, I think when you blitz a linebacker and you try and make it always a four-man front where you're trying to bring an additional player, it bodes well for your defense in terms of preparing them for where you're trying to force that quarterback, that opposing quarterback, or that if they're running the football to one type of dimensional. You know, you want to make them one-dimensional, whether it's throwing or passing. But that, Todd Bowles, I think that what we're trying to see with this defense is we're trying to find an identity. Are they going to be that aggressive type? And then with these injuries, it makes it very difficult, Paul. You know, Wolf, it makes it very difficult to find out what this team's going to be. Are they going to be a 3-4? Are they going to be a 4-3? But I think if you look at the personnel, what they have now, the 4-3 fits them very well.
There's no doubt about it. They're going to run a 4-3. They have been running a 4-3 for the most part. But there is that flexibility that is always there when you talk about having Sam Acho and Lorenzo Alexander in the game. And this is going to minimize that flexibility. It's going to make them much more predictable, much more rigid. And there's no doubt about it, though. It's going to be a 4-3, probably an over and an under defense that Todd Bowles is going to run. That's what we have run with John Abraham and Matt Shaughnessy in the game from time to time. So there's no doubt about it. It's going to impact this defense and limit this defense. And that's a thing that hurts. In the National Football League, one of the things you want to be able to do is be a chameleon. You want to be flexible. You want to be multifaceted. And now with these injuries that have come down and the fact that you've got Dan Williams is not going to play on Sunday. And we all understand why, with the tragic death, the passing of his father. Yet at the same time, these are really losses that Todd Bowles is faced with. This is making it very, very difficult to go out there and try to be a chameleon, try to be unpredictable, because right now they're going to be pretty predictable for Mike Glennon.
It's not just next man up, it's next men up. And as you guys mentioned, Shaughnessy to the Sam, John Abraham to the Will, a lot more four-man fronts. Dante Moak comes up from the practice squad. He's a local kid, played with Kerry Taylor, Chandler Hamilton, third-round pick, 2011 out of Nevada. Actually, Bruce Arians, we'll hear a little bit later, calls him, and Calais mentions it too, about how he's a speed rusher, you know, long arms. So intrigued to see Dante Moak out there. And I'm also intrigued to see what Tampa does. How will they attack the Cardinals? Because that is obviously an area of concern. Hey, with each passing touchdown of the season, Wells Fargo donates $500 to local public schools, so the passing touchdown for schools program. We know football is a game of sacrifice, but when you sacrifice your body and or a body part, we'll talk about that injury next.
Pretty much the worst pain that I've had in football since I've been playing. But to have someone to have to, you know, chip away at your bone and dig into it to get it to the point to where they could cover it back up was pretty painful the night after. As a football player, when it has to do with the football, you catch the ball, you know, between your thumbs and your index finger anyway. So, I mean, your middle finger, I mean, I don't know what it's used for unless it's just the extra grip and making a tackle. So, I mean, it probably wasn't getting used for anything good anyway.
That is a nonchalant Rashad Johnson on his middle finger on his left hand. At one point, the finger was trending. You know, whether you know a football from a foosball, you probably know the story at this point about Rashad Johnson and what's left of his middle finger. It is the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell will join us, and will join us from Florida momentarily. You heard Rashad Johnson right there. Gentlemen, some initial reaction to Rashad, "I've got nine more Johnson." And that's his quote, by the way. I mean, he's just, you heard him and his attitude towards losing his fingertip.
You know what, Paulie? I think this is one of the coolest things I've ever heard.
I knew it. That's it. Good night, everybody. Drive safely.
I mean, honestly, no. I'm sure Rashad Johnson would tell you something else, but he's also now part of legend and lore in the National Football League.
You got a shout out from Ronnie Lott himself.
There you
he
go,
did.
From Ronnie
yep.
Lott.
Yep.
Say no more, right there. By legend, of course, Ronnie Lott, who tore his pinky. Correct, Paul. It was his pinky
yes.
finger that he tore. By legend, and I've heard this from guys who were on the side. sideline, he told the trainers to cut it off. All right. I mean, this is rotting lot.
What do you use to cut it off?
Paul, I have no idea. The scissors?
Yeah.
Take out the scissors.
They got a mini guillotine?
It was hanging there already. And of course, they would not do that. He lost it eventually anyways. Yet at the same time, this story is part of football legend and lore right now. And what makes it so unbelievable is the fact that Rashad Johnson wasn't sure when he did it, first and foremost. And secondly, when he took his glove off, we all know the tip of the finger was still in the glove.
Oh,
now, Paul, I got to tell you, does it get any better than that for a football player losing a finger out in between the white lines on the gridiron, and you take the glove off and it's still in there? And it is just, well, I don't want to minimize it, but you listen to Rashad Johnson talk about it. He's like, you know, it's just the tip of my finger. It's just, you know, down to the first knuckle. And, you know, that's something he's going to be able to tell his grandkids. That's going to be a story that's going to circulate through the locker rooms in the National Football League from now until the rest of time.
Well, there's no doubt he's going to be known for it the rest of his life.
Yes.
He's already doing national talk shows. You know, he's gone on TV. Bruce Arians joked, if you want to be on TV, just hang around Rashad Johnson. The cameras are everywhere.
Right.
The interview requests are everywhere. But if you're saying, does it get any better, if by better you mean any more grisly or gruesome, then I would agree with you. Damien, where are you on this one?
I just couldn't believe that it happened, and the fact that he's so optimistic about the whole situation, kind of jovial and joking about everything, and the fact that he's going to play this game. I mean, how are you going to pad that up? Are they going to put a nub cover around it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even understand how do you do that in terms of his ability to maneuver throughout the secondary.
I'm told today there's still a good chance he could play on Sunday, and yes, there would be a big protective cover over that hand.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a club. I mean, that you just can't say enough about the kid who cares about the game that much, that he actually lost the tip of his finger, and it's nothing to him. He's going to continue to go out there and pursue his dream and play in the National Football League. As a player that's dealt with pain, it just literally blows my mind the fact that a person can lose a finger and not know it, you know, Wolf.
And so the glove came off. He really had no idea.
Yeah. He thought it was a nail by all accounts. So, I mean, it's unbelievable that it happened. The fact that he continues to go out there and wind up playing and is joking about it blows my mind.
And, you know what, can I just say this too quickly, that football players, this is one of the reasons why I say they're born and they're not made. Dealing with pain and dealing with adversity and dealing with risk, that's what football players do. And I think everyone who puts a helmet on should admit that and embrace it. And Rashad Johnson certainly has.
The bone was shaved off and then stitched up. His middle finger is now approximately the same length as his index finger. We're just going to leave it at that one. And remind everybody that Cardinals single game tickets are on sale now. Visit the University of Phoenix Stadium box office or visit Ticketmaster.com. We roll on the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell will join us next. All presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
To pass with time, fires deep left side, going end zone, overthrown and picked off. Honey Badger in the end zone, a homecoming for Tyrann Mathieu, and he gets a pick in front of friends and family. It's a touchback.
Oh baby, the Badger slows down the New Orleans Saints.
Tyrann Mathieu, the New Orleans native, as he tweeted when we landed in New Orleans, your prince is back, New Orleans. And he delivered, did he not, with that third quarter interception on 3rd and 10. It was an over-the-shoulder grab, an overthrow by Drew Brees, and he made him pay. He made a play. That's exactly what Tyrann Mathieu has been doing since day one, ever since becoming a third-round draft pick by the Arizona Cardinals. It is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. He'll join us momentarily, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Paul Calvisi, Damian Anderson, and Ron Wolfley. Wolf, I know you wrote a little bit about Tyrann Mathieu and you saw it on film, your takeaways from that play and maybe his game in general.
Just the guy continues to make plays. It truly is amazing. This kid was known for creating turnovers at LSU. That's what he was known for. A lot of people talk about his instincts playing the game of football, but it's also his ability to put himself in positions to make those plays. And this kid has played 3 games for the Arizona Cardinals and has caused 2 turnovers already. That is a good sign. And not only that, he's made a big play in every game. The two turnovers, knocking the ball out of Jared Cook right there, saved 7 points for the Arizona Cardinals. You could say he certainly saved points against the New Orleans Saints by coming down with that interception as they were moving the ball deep into Cardinal territory. And then, of course, you could talk about the 4th-and-4 play, the tackle he made on Nate Burleson to seal the deal against the Detroit Lions. This kid has made a huge impact in 3 games.
And Paulie, to Wolf's point about Tyrann Mathieu and his ability to make plays, and that's what you kind of saw coming from the West Coast. We didn't see much about all his in-game habits, his ability to make tackles, I think, but watching him these past 3 games, not only does he have that intuitiveness that Wolf speaks of, but he also has that position versatility to play almost every secondary position. But one thing that stuck out to me, Wolf, is his sure tackling. As he mentioned, the 4th-and-4 play, his ability to go up there and not be afraid. I mean, by size, he's diminutive. He's not the biggest guy that you're going to draw up in a football game. He's not the guy that you're going to create, but you know what? He goes out there and he continues to make plays, and he's probably the biggest playmaker on this Cardinals defense right now.
And he might be darn the best tackler right now. I mean, Bruce Arians has cited poor tackling. Todd Bowles did it again today. It's something they have to prove on as a defense, not Tyrann Mathieu. He has been a sure tackler so far this season.
And then you throw in the fact that he's one of the best slot blitzers I've ever seen in the nickel package. He just has another innate ability to time the rush, come off the slot. He knows when to bend it underneath the defensive end. He also knows when to jump, when to go up, maybe when not to. He's just very, very instinctive, everything that he does right now. And to Damian's point about the sure tackling, this is something I was so impressed with through the first 3 games. And it also causes a little bit of concern. And the reason being is because you think of Bob Sanders. Bob Sanders, a great safety for the Indianapolis Colts. Totally changed the Colts defense when Bob Sanders was actually playing safety for the Indianapolis Colts. And here's another guy that was diminutive as a safety in the NFL. And the fact that he would tackle so well and so fiercely, it's worn down. And you know what? You worry about the same thing with Tyrann Mathieu, because there's no doubt about it. He will bring it. Explodes into ball carriers.
Well, Calais had the Honey Badger on right here on this stage a week ago going into the New Orleans game. They remained in Florida. They set up shop at the Ritz-Carlton, 6'8" Calais Campbell. I had to look out for all those expensive chandeliers, okay? So our Jim Omohundro, he ran them down, and they sat down for a little bit of a Q&A. Let's roll it, guys.
All right, guys, I'm joined by Calais Campbell here at the Ritz-Carlton down in Sarasota, Florida. And the big story this week, obviously, is the injuries. Of course, Sam Acho, Lorenzo Alexander, and Alex Okafor, and all at the same position. I mean, sometimes you lose guys, but rarely at the same position. Just what's the general thoughts on losing 3 guys at the same position?
Yeah, it's hard. You know, those are a good friend of mine and are great, great players. And to replace them, is going to be hard. But in the NFL, good teams have that next guy up mentality. And a lot of great players became good players, getting the opportunity to somebody else getting injured.
One of the new guys, Dante Moak. Coach was talking about his speed. What have you seen out of him in the 3 weeks he's been here on the practice squad and the few days that he's been here on the active roster?
Yeah, our coach was trying to tell us, our D-line coach said that he's the only true speed rusher on the team. Nobody else really is a speed rusher. Everybody else is a power to speed or speed to power. He's the only one that can just go speed all the way around.
2 guys that have already been here will be moving into the starting lineup in John Abraham at the Will and Matt Shaughnessy at the Sam. Can you talk about those guys? How are they going to move into those roles?
John was more of a pass rush specialist, but now he has to be an every down guy. And that's what he wants to be. I talked to him. He wants to be an every down guy. So, he is like getting opportunity the way it came. But this is where he wants, and he has opportunity to show that he still has a lot left in the tank.
And, of course, the strangest injury of them all, Rashad Johnson, who lost part of his body out there in the Superdome. I'm guessing that you haven't seen anything like that before. And are you surprised at his attitude? Because he's really kind of in a joking mood about it. He just lost part of his finger, and he's like, hey, I got 9 more.
I am very surprised by that. But if you get to know Sean, I guess I shouldn't be, because he's just such a good attitude kind of guy. His attitude, you know, is the reason why he's a great player. I mean, he was a walk-on at one point in time at Alabama, and now, you know, he's one of the better safeties in the league, in my opinion. You know, but for him to lose a finger, and I mean, I couldn't imagine losing my fingers. I have one all 10 of mine. You know, he told me he might have a chance to play this week, so that'd be huge.
One other thing before we send it back to the Big Red Rage at Marley's, I wanted to ask you, your good pal, Dan Williams, obviously going through some adversity with his father. His father's funeral will be Saturday. Dan will miss the game here in Tampa Bay. And just wanted to get your thoughts on, I'm sure you've talked to Dan. How is he doing, and what are you guys doing as a team to help him through this?
Yeah, Dan's doing pretty good, you know, relatively speaking for what he's going through. You know, Dan's probably my best friend in the whole NFL. I see him as a brother, and, you know, I got to know his family very well over the years, and he knows my family very well, you know. But, you know, I mean, this week, especially with, you know, Tampa Bay being a running team, we really could use him. But, you know, we're going to go out there and support him. The whole D-line is flying out on Saturday after our walkthrough to go to the funeral, and they're flying right back to be back for a night meeting. So, you know, it's going to be good to see him, you know, just, you know, show some love and be there for him. And then, you know, look forward to him getting back here, you know, the following week.
It's great to hear that the defensive line and his teammates are supporting him in that way. Calais, stick tight here. We're going to come back with a little bit more, guys, from Sarasota, the team headquarters in Sarasota, Florida. Back to you at the Big Red Rage.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. How about that? How about a round of applause for Calais Campbell and that defensive line and what they're doing to support the Williams family? And Dan Williams, and, you know, Kalea said it again, they're best friends on the team, flying out after the morning walkthrough on Saturday to attend the funeral service in Memphis and then coming back to the Tampa area in time for the night meetings, going to game day on Sunday. That is big time, Damian.
That's what it's about. It's about family, and that's what this game of football allows you to do. It allows you to connect with some brothers that you never necessarily met before, connect with fans like this, and to build that bond. What makes this organization special, what makes that D-line special, and those guys will be with them forever.
You know, he couldn't be in a better place, seriously, than to be with his teammates. So much of the time, the teammates, the guys in your meeting room, they are your brothers. There's no doubt about it. You heard Calais say that. He considers them to be a brother. And you know what? If tragedy strikes, other than your family, to be surrounded by your teammates is a good thing.
You know, Lorenzo Alexander, there he was on crutches, and his season ended, you know, by the foot injury, and he was talking to the media, I believe it was on Monday, and just the mere mention of it, 10 seconds into a soundbite, he started tearing up. He started getting all choked up, Lorenzo Alexander. It's something that a lot of guys are feeling, that pain with Dan Williams in that locker room, and, you know, to go up there on Saturday and then come out on Sunday and you play a game, is that something you can maybe use as a motivator, or is that way overrated, gentlemen?
Yeah, I think it's overrated just a little bit. You know, again, for Dan Williams, there's no right or wrong way to respond to that, but rarely does a guy stay the same after losing his father like that in that situation, when he was as close to his father as he was. Either you're going to play for your dad and you're going to turn it into a positive, or in the short term, it's just going to be an emotional drag on you, and it's really going to impact your play. Rarely do you stay in the same place as a player, but there is no right or wrong way to respond to that. Everyone's different, and it'll be that way with Dan.
We're going to hear more from Calais Campbell when we come back. He'll talk about the Bucs, their rookie QB, and Steve Keim, what he had to say on Cardinals Underground this week. You're going to want to catch that. It's next. The Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell, presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
If we can keep the pocket clean, I like the way Carson delivers the football. Obviously, very accurate, good ball placement. One of the top concerns to play off that would be the fact that he's taking too many shots. And when quarterbacks take too many shots, they tend to look at the rush and get frazzled. And you know, if we can keep Carson clean for three or four quarters, you know, I think we have a chance to play with anybody.
Steve Keim on the Cardinals Underground earlier this week, azcardinals.com, with Darren Urban and a very fourth-round GM of the Arizona Cardinals. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Rejoin us momentarily from Florida. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Damian Anderson here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford. And, I mean, look at it, guys. You know, Carson Palmer ended up the game 18-35 for a buck 87. He had the two picks. His QB rating was just 43. And afterwards, you know, Coach Arians acknowledged in our post-game radio interview that, hey, you know, he he did get a bit rattled. I mean, he got sacked 4 times. He got hit 9 times. And you know, but you look at that first drive, guys, and you see that he was 5 of 6 passing, and they went down the field with 11 plays, 80 yards, and punched it in. A very balanced drive to open up the game, but things just seemed to change from there.
No, absolutely, Paul. And one thing that Steve Keim knows is football. When it comes down to protecting the quarterback, this is a quarterback-driven league. And if you protect Carson Palmer, just to his point, he's an accurate quarterback. With the combination of play calling for Bruce Arians and Harold Goodwin, they're able to move the football. We saw that on the first drive. We saw their ability, as you mentioned, to go 11 plays, 80 yards, and disperse the ball to several different receivers. He's just not keying on Larry Fitzgerald. He has that ability to find the open guy. Somewhat things that we've seen in the past from great quarterbacks like Kurt Warner, guys like Drew Brees, we saw his ability to obviously key on a good guy, but he also spread the ball around to the open receiver. That being said, for this team to be successful, you have to protect that quarterback, allow him to move the team, because that's what's going to happen. In order to protect the quarterback, you're going to have to score points, and that's what will enable you to move down the football field.
The most disheartening thing that happened in that game last week was just the fact that they were able to rush four and get pressure on Carson Palmer. And let me tell you something right now, if there is one thing that a defensive coordinator will say, done, I'll take that every time, it's the ability to go into any game and say, we're going to be able to rush 4 and drop 7 and get that consistent pressure on the quarterback. And that's the way that it happened. It didn't just come from Levi Brown as well. It came from the other side. Cameron Jordan working against Eric Winston, as a matter of fact. And in the interior as well, there was some interior pressure from the New Orleans Saints. So I think that was the most disappointing thing, just the fact that the Saints were able to routinely rush 4, drop 7, and get that pressure. It created a context of crisis for Carson Palmer back there. And as a quarterback, I can tell you right now, as a human being, when we look at Carson Palmer and how he played last week, we can totally understand where, you know what, you're going to get rid of that ball just a little bit quicker. You're going to make that read, that decision just a little bit quicker, and maybe it's not the right read. You're going to get rid of that ball. You're going to not drive off your back leg. You're not going to finish over that front foot the way that you need to, and a couple of balls will sail on you. As a human being, I understand that. But as a coach and as a player, you can never accept that. You just cannot do that, especially as a quarterback. You can anticipate the rush. You're supposed to anticipate the rush and how many people are going to be coming and where they're coming from and whether or not you're picked up in protection. You need to anticipate the rush, but you can never, ever, as a quarterback, anticipate the hit. Because that's what happens. Suddenly, you're starting to make these decisions, and they're not good decisions. Suddenly, you're getting rid of the ball quicker. Suddenly, the ball is sailing on you. And that is what we saw. It created a context of crisis. And again, not to be redundant, but although we can all understand it, you can never accept it as a coach or as a player.
The quarterback headlines this week made by the Buccaneers as they made a change. Josh Freeman has been benched by Greg Schiano in the front office, and the third-round rookie out of North Carolina, Glennon, will start make his NFL debut on Sunday. Our Jim Omohundro talked with Calais Campbell about that and more from Tampa.
All right, thanks, guys. Back here at Cards HQ in Sarasota, Florida, alongside Calais Campbell on the Big Red Rage. And Calais, the challenge this week is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, you know, they're starting a rookie quarterback, but, you know, the team is 0-3, and they really could be 2-1. They're about 10 seconds of clock time away from being 2-1. What do you see from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah, they're a good team. You know, they're definitely better than 0-3. They have probably the best O-line in the whole league, in my opinion. You know, collectively, everybody, you know, across the board is pretty solid. And we know that their running game is the strong part of their team. Their running back, you know, is a second leader rusher in the NFL. And for them to be 0-3, I mean, that's saying a lot. You know, I think that we're pretty good at stopping the run. If we come out there and play our A game, I think we can shut them down.
Tampa, of course, has the new starting quarterback, Mike Glennon, the rookie out of NC State. Steve Keim knows him well. What do you know about Mike Glennon? Obviously, as Wolf would say, he has a big target for a defensive lineman to aim for, as being about 6'6", 6'7", back there.
Yeah, he's definitely a huge guy, you know, and, you know, I think he's very smart, you know. I mean, anytime you put a rookie quarterback in there, you know, they're going to run the ball a lot more and do, you know, controlled passes, you know, play action, you know, tell him where to go with the ball his first couple throws. I doubt he throws the ball more than 20 times. But it's our job in those 20 passes that he does get is to walk into the NFL correctly, you know. But, you know, he is a big target, you know, being 6'6 and all. You know, it's much easier than Drew Brees to bring down. You know, easier to see him back there when you're rushing the passer, you know, find out when he's stepping up, you know, be able to fall back in and make a play there. So I think that, you know, hopefully we can hit him early and get him uncomfortable and, you know, and walk him to the NFL the right way.
And, Calais, you mentioned that they're a big running team. They may be even more so because two of their top receivers, Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams, have not practiced yet this week. We'll see if they go. You know, you talk about Doug Martin. As individual, he's averaging through three games 99 yards a game. What type of back is he, and how do you stop him?
I like to think of him as old-fashioned, you know, one cut and hit the hole hard as he can. He keeps his feet moving the whole time. Kind of reminds me of a Marshawn Lynch type runner. You know, he's never really down until you hear a whistle. We have to gang tackle, and we have to make sure we get him down. You know, we can't get him a lot of yards after contact. You know, I mean, I respect him a lot, but, you know, he's going to have his hands full this, you know, come Sunday.
Well, we know Paul Calvisi is probably just down to salad while we were talking. Wolf probably down to his own burger at Marley's. Do you have anything you want to say to the fans at Marley's? I know we'll be back there next Thursday, so.
Yeah, man, I missed you guys this week, man. Looking forward to seeing you next week.
All right, there you have it. Calais Campbell, I'm Jim Omohundro. We'll send it back to you at the Big Red Rage from Marley's at the Chandler Fashion Center.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. And I know, Damian, to include you there in the reindeer games, you're jealous of the nickname that Doug Martin has, the muscle hamster. You know what I mean? You know, come on now. You're all yoked up over here, you know, per usual. But you didn't have that cool nickname as a running back yourself. Muscle hamster.
That's, you know what, Paulie? I missed my calling. I mean, because when I heard it, I was like, man.
Yeah. darn
man.
Tootin'.
But no, I mean, they got their hands full with Doug Martin. But the good thing about it, they do have a rookie quarterback coming in. As Clay has said, they're going to probably be one-dimensional trying to run the ball and have some focused passing situations, which bode well for, I believe, is the Cardinals' strength, their secondary.
You know, entering week three, there were three teams with only three touchdowns. There was Tampa, Jacksonville, and Oakland. They have been struggling on offense big time. Coach Arians is pretty blunt about the quarterback change and, you know, what sort of advantage that might be. We'll get to that next as we continue to roll on here from Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. It is the Big Red Rage. You heard from Calais Campbell, all presented by Santan Ford. We'll continue and talk more about this game, a big swing game. 2-2 or 1-3 after Sunday. It's a big deal. Back right after this.
You prepare for their offense. Josh brought special things as far as athleticism. Mike brings a big, strong arm. They obviously felt it was needed. Don't know why, not being part of their organization. But, you know, anytime you face a rookie quarterback, you know that it's his first time out there. We should have an advantage, I think.
No doubt about it. You heard Calais Campbell and that last segment there talk about they have to make sure there is a welcome to the NFL moment for Mike Glennon, who will be making his debut on Sunday. It is the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, our host, he is in Florida getting ready with the Cardinals, staying on the East Coast, getting the body clocks ready to go, right? And we're all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. So, all right, first off, you have an offense that is struggling big time by Tampa, guys. And so then you have the coach coming out on Monday, Greg Schiano, and saying, no, Josh Freeman is our starter because he gives us the best chance to win. 48 hours later, he calls an audible and then pulls a reverse and says, no, guess what? The third-round rookie out of North Carolina State, Mike Glennon, gives us the best chance to win, and he cited his GM and the rest of the front office. It was a team, a collective decision. Damian, what do you think is going on behind the scenes here?
I mean, there's definitely a lot of dissension in that team, in that locker room. I mean, there's been stories of Josh Freeman being late to the team pitcher. He wasn't voted captain this year. In years past, he requesting a trade nowadays. I mean, the good thing about it, it's not happening with the Arizona Cardinals. And as we all know, the fans being here, team is what it takes. Obviously, that's not necessarily the case down there. As you mentioned, Paulie, the coach coming out on Monday saying that he's our guy, and then 48 hours later, recanting that statement. I mean, what's happening is a lot of uncertainty there. They're not producing, so they're trying to fix. They're trying to plug a whole bunch of holes with putty right now and trying to save this boat. But unfortunately, that's not necessarily the case. It all stands for the NFL, not for long when you're making these bad decisions.
You know what it tells me, Paulie, is that Mark Domenech, the general manager for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, said, no, we're going to go in a different direction. Maybe Greg Schiano, being a coach, realizes that Josh Freeman offers the best short-term possibility to win a game, that he's ready. He's better than Mike Lennon right now, and maybe Mike Lennon doesn't really afford Greg Schiano and his coaches or the players the best opportunity to win this Sunday. But a general manager thinks in a different paradigm. He thinks in a completely different context than the coach does. He's thinking more of a long-term impact right now, and I think that's one of the reasons why they're making this move, going to Mike Lennon, because I do believe that Mark Domenech has probably made the decision that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a franchise are not going to go forward with Josh Freeman as their quote-unquote franchise quarterback.
I mean, but Wolf, I got to throw this at you. I mean, with Greg Schiano only winning the last eight of the nine, I mean, losing the last eight of the nine starts, I mean, and all we know, this game is all about job security.
Sure.
Is that, do you believe that that decision is more about the coach or the GM making that decision?
No, I think it's more about Greg Schiano again, because I think Greg Schiano realizes that Josh Freeman is more NFL ready than Mike Lennon is. Now, we can debate that all day long. I think it's one of the reasons why Greg Schiano said it with conviction on Monday. He said, you know what? Hey, Josh Freeman still gives us the best chance to win. Why do they know that? Well, you know what? They sit in these meeting rooms with Mike Lennon. They sit and watch practice film with Mike Lennon, right? They hear the things he says. They hear what he understands, what he might not understand, what he can execute in practice. I mean, they know him better than we do, or even Mark Domenech for that matter.
Well, there's no doubt that Josh Freeman has regressed. In 2010, he had 25 touchdown passes, just 6 interceptions. And they talked big about him coming into this year. For once, he was going to be in the same system 2 straight years. He had the same offensive coordinator. He had his completion percentage was 45%. I mean, that's an outlier. That is the worst in the NFL by far. And you know, here's my thing. Does Greg Schiano buy himself another year or two because he's going with a rookie quarterback? Because now I get to grow with the rookie quarterback. Does that buy him a little extra security than a proven guy? And if they were losing,
Paulie, as we all know, in the game of NFL, you got to sell the house, and you got to have people in the stands. And if they're not winning, there's a lot of uncertainty, and the seat gets hot.
Speaking of the house, Wolf in Tampa, we'll revisit that next.
Ron Wolfley is enjoying a Kit Kat from the bottomless Davy Jones locker of candy that we have here at Raymond James Stadium.
The Dread Pirate Steve, be it no man's dead. Hoist the colors. Oh, you're a slimy dog, matey. Me barnacles are killing me. Cover the kick and do it smartly. We're going to call the rest of the game like a pirate.
Was that on the air or off the air there, Wolf?
I can't remember, Paul.
Yeah.
Really can't.
You waived your rule. There was a talk like a pirate day. I think it was earlier this month, right? You brought it there on game day.
September 19th,
I see.
As a matter of fact.
Okay, you know that. That's scary.
Yeah,
that is
talk
totally
like
scary.
A pirate day. Error,
it is,
baby.
Yeah. By the way, you realize you are sort of part of trivia that the Cardinals' last win in Tampa was also their first win as the Arizona Cardinals, then the Phoenix Cardinals, circa September 18th, 1988. That was the last win in Tampa, including, of course, Super Bowl 43. So there you go. A little trivia for you on that one. By the way, a year ago, Carson Palmer with the Raiders, he went to Tampa. Want to hear the numbers? 414 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, 61 pass attempts. You know why? Because the Bucs had a historically bad pass defense. They allowed nearly 300 yards per game through the air. That was the defense, and so they rebuilt the whole thing. Darrell Revis is in there. Deshaun Goldson, they picked him up. Big money from the Niners, free agent. Right? Mark Barron was a first-round pick a year ago. He got a second-round corner, so there you go. Now, on the other side, Wolf, all right, we're running the no huddle here.
Darn.
Maybe a word on Glennon, their rookie quarterback, 6'6", with a big arm to match.
Okay, Paul, that sounds good, as a matter of fact. The Dread Pirate Steve. What do you say we just sit here and talk the entire segment like a pirate?
Well, you got to save it for Sunday. You know, you just have to save it for Sunday, and you know, you don't want to peak too early. Get ready for game day as you're out there and you look at that pirate ship out of Raymond James Stadium. Let's just hope it doesn't rain on the sideline, guy. That's all I have to say.
What's our favorite? What's a pirate's favorite letter in alphabet?
I have no idea.
R.
Okay,
that's horrible.
Just so that, Damien, you need to close out the show. We're leaving. Back to wrap it up on this edition of the Big Red Rage. We heard from Calais Campbell earlier, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Did you get that from your 8-year-old? Heard Bruce Arians earlier as we wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage. You heard Calais Campbell earlier, right? Bruce Arians had a comment on Mike Glennon getting the start. His NFL debut, they benched Josh Freeman, and he said the B in BA stands for blunt. He said, we should have an advantage. We will have an advantage. He's a rookie quarterback. How much of an advantage, Ron Wolfley?
Well, you know, I don't know if you can quantify how much of an advantage it is going to be. We'll see how the Arizona Cardinals are able to control Doug Martin and stop the running game and make Mike Glennon a one-dimensional quarterback. But, look, this kid, he's got a big arm. There's no doubt about it. He's got a big arm. He's 6'6". He does have some ability that he's going to bring to the table, but let me just say, he is a rookie making his first start in the National Football League, and historically, that does not bode well for a quarterback making his first start in the NFL. It is an advantage, and I love the fact that Bruce Arians said it was an advantage because he's putting that expectation on his players.
And also, Paul, there's one aspect of the game that you can't necessarily prepare yourself for if you've never had it, and that's the tempo of the game. I mean, now you're going up against the team's ones where in the preseason, you've gone up against the B's or the threes, guys that potentially are not on the squad that you're going to see now. I mean, you're going up against a guy like Patrick Peterson. You're going up against a guy like Tyrann Mathieu who can disguise coverages and bait you a little bit. I mean, that's intriguing to see. As Wolf said, as Bruce said, that's going to be a great matchup. I give the advantage to the Arizona Cardinals secondary. But however, you got to give it up to the Pittsburgh, former Pittsburgh alums, Darrell Revis and Larry Fitzgerald battling out on Sunday as well.
Yep, that's right. He's visiting Revis Island. No doubt about it. Not only did he play against second stringers in August, but he went against vanilla coverages. I mean, you think Todd Bowles is going to mix it up and disguise some of those coverages? I mean, you bet. Hey, special thanks. Calais Campbell, how about a round of applause for Big 93 joining us? And great to hear that Calais and the rest of the D-line will be going up to Memphis on Saturday in between the morning walkthrough and the team meetings at night to visit Dan Williams and support him during his father's funeral. Special thanks to Jim Almahunter, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Jordan Bird, Ferron Wolfley, and Damian Anderson. I'm Paul Calvisi. For all the fine folks here at Marley's, including Jeff Marley, Tim Hovick, and the crew over at Santan Ford, we'll see you next week here on the Big Red Rage.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3,
and by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, boy? What's up, AC?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.